Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. We have an exciting show for you tonight. The theme of tonight's show is doing business in Africa and the Caribbean. You might ask, what does doing business in Africa and the Caribbean have to do with separating into our own communities? Well, that's a good question. And we have our guest on tonight. We're going to get into that. But think about it. If we're separating in a community and we are striving to have our own nation, are we limited to just doing business with our continental neighbors? I mean, with our history, our own history answers that question. The Nation of Islam did international business with multiple countries, with multiple products and services. So an independent community, an independent group, an independent country does business with whoever could work as a business partner. So we are not limited to just learning how to do business with ourselves, though that's where we should start. But we should strive to do business with our brothers, in particular in Africa and the Caribbean. So we were blessed to have one of our brothers in the Ministry of Agriculture, brother and sister, a dynamic couple, Brother Gerald and Sister Linda. We were blessed to have them to take the initiative to go to see Brother Akbar in the conference this couple of weeks ago. And so I see Brother Gerald's, I see your phone number, Brother Gerald. You can press that 1 for me, Brother Gerald, on your dial to keep you at the top of the queue. And I'll bring you on soon as I see that. There we go. Okay. Well, I'm not going to talk, everybody, and use a valuable time. I'm going to bring on Brother Gerald. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Gerald.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Brother Carlton?
I am well, by the grace of Allah. And before I go further, I want to thank you, brother, for representing us in D.C. at this conference. I read the Final Call article. I said, Brother Gerald is representing. He didn't sit in the back. He sat in the front, and he pushed the Ministry of Agriculture out front. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Praises be to Allah. Yes, sir. Brother, I want to say thank you for, you know, the opportunity to speak. Me and my wife, we love the program. It's a timely program. It is definitely time for us to do something for ourselves and to separate. The main reason, getting right into it, the main reason that we went to this conference was to look for opportunities for the Ministry of Agriculture to get into this international trade and commerce. At present, the nation, with the staple goods project that we do within the Ministry of Agriculture, at present we're shipping 40 to approximately 40 tons of product to 60 different cities within the nation, and we do this on an annual basis. But I want to say that with a market share like that, and a distribution system that we're working on, we're working out the kinks and the logistics of it now, we should be able to, I feel, step out international, following the examples of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So, brother, if you could, before, I do have some questions about the conference, but if you could just summarize and give the believers or the listeners who may not be aware of the conference that took place, could you kind of summarize the conference and your opinion of how it went?
Yes, sir. The conference, it was a 2-day conference, June the 19th and the 20th, and the way it was structured was the MC, Dr. Minister Akbar Muhammad, and Brother Earl E. Reddix, who's a founder of Hughes Logistics, and he's a Mr. Reddix. He works as a financial advisor, and he's licensed with the Security Exchange Commission and the New York Stock Exchange. A beautiful brother, and he did an excellent job. And he has and he's knowledgeable in Japanese and Swahili. Minister Akbar was also I guess you would call the convener, coordinator of the event. And so the way it was structured was we had two separate parts of it. The first part, we were dealing with the countries in Africa, and the second part was we were dealing with the countries in the Caribbean. Now, we had a series of different countries to come up, and it was really, I really felt privileged to be in the presence of some of our great ambassadors coming from these from these sovereign countries, and I put the word sovereign in quotes, and you'll see why later. We had representatives from, let's see, Cote d'Ivoire, Namibia. We had representatives from ambassadors from Madagascar, Mauritius, and also on the Caribbean side, we had Guyana was represented. Belize, I think what Linda was it? Djibouti, that's Africa.
Jamaica
was represented, and so they're coming making a pitch, getting the companies. Also, an ambassador from the Bahamas was there too. They came with the intent to invite blacks in the diaspora to do business with Africa and the Caribbean. And one of the things that was mentioned was that the continent of Africa is not, it has five territories that they represent. They represent North Africa, South Africa, East Africa, West Africa, and also the diaspora. So we're part of that African piece, and then we're tying it all together. Okay,
wow.
Now, so the ambassadors came out making the sale, telling you the pros and the cons. Well, more pros than the cons, you know, making
of
the
course.
Sale to get us to do business. And there were some beautiful things that were said, and a lot of opportunities that are out there for us. So I'm gonna stop it right there and allow you to lead me on, because it was so in depth and so much that we did, and I know your question's gonna pull some of this out. So
inshallah, I will do my best.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, inshallah, Dr. Rich will be on too. I know he's traveling, so I can't say. I sent him a text. Don't know if he got it or not, because I'm sending it from a part of my room where my phone doesn't work, but that's another story. But anyway, brother, could you highlight for us some of the potential opportunities for a brother or sister or an investment team of Muslims that may be looking to do either some trade or some investment or to get some product development? Did the ambassadors and representatives describe opportunities in that kind of a detail?
Yes, sir. They did describe opportunities in the agribusiness sector, the tourism, the even the mining sector, and the technology sector also. But I'm gonna tell you what really, really, really caught my attention. And we had the different African countries were coming up and they were presenting, and Minister Akbar did an excellent job keeping us on point that we have an end. A lot of us are operating as though we don't want to see the big elephant in the room. You know, what has happened to black people and why this has happened. And so to go into business, this need to be a consideration. You know, what has happened to us and why it has happened, because it appeared to me as though it was the same old thing, you know, come on in, do business.
Okay.
And for the purpose of, you know, just monies. And I kind of started to lose my feel for it. But
okay.
What really, really got me was when the Caribbean representative, Minister Akbar, introduced a brother, Nuri Muhammad. Brother Nuri Muhammad he lives in the country of Belize, and he went to talking about his background. Let me give you a little bit of his background.
Mm-hmm.
When he was 23 years old, he was sent into Belize by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Oh, man. So, okay, he's one of us.
Yes, sir. To go and secure farmland and studying that Amish model, he was to go into Belize, acquire 55,000 acres of farmland, and they set up the trade coming back and forth into the States. Now, When he took the podium, he gave a new energy, a new dynamic to that conversation that made us really, really stand up on our seats, you know, and say, yes, yes. Because now think, here we are in the States, you know, followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And the messenger has already planted these seeds out here for us. So it was wonderful to have a connection like that with our brother Minister Akbar Muhammad, and now we've got Brother Nuri Muhammad coming up out of Belize. And if we could ever, and this is what I'm proposing in the very, very near future, is to sit down and examine some goods, some services, some exports, some import opportunities with these particular with these advisors. It might not be coming up out of Belize. It might be coming out of Guyana. It might be coming out of the continent of Africa. But with this powerhouse of knowledge that we have before us, I'm pretty sure we could be structured. We could structure something, and once we identify a product, then studying and getting the logistics down, there's a possibility of working that right in with the staple goods project and shipping those goods out to our people in these 60 to 70 cities. So,
wow, brother, you really covered the area. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And that right there is that made that trip really worthwhile. There's a lot of things going on in the African Caribbean sector, you know, and a lot of this was being addressed. And like I say, Brother Akbar was on point. He was bringing those things out, you know, how countries are being destabilized, how things that you have to watch out for. But we have got to realize that we do have an enemy. And that enemy wants that money, wants that product, wants that trade, wants those exports just like you do, just like we do. And so, therefore, I mean, it's war. Business is war. So we've got to gird up our loins and really, really, really prepare. But I think this is strategic in its nature, you know, setting up these outposts in other areas. You know, when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he came under opposition, he sent a delegation out to where was that? To Ethiopia, right?
Yes, sir.
He sent and also he fled into Medina, right? So and that dispersion, I think that's counter. Something that we should consider. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, praise be to Allah. You covered a lot of points, brother. And one of the ones I wanted to ask you about was that, it sounds like the conference let me ask you, was the conference geared for people who are prepared or in a position to take advantage of building relationships with these ambassadors now, or was it geared for people to find out what opportunities are there to start preparing?
I would say it was a little bit of both. What did you say, Linda?
Mm-hmm.
It was. I get my wife here, Linda, she.
Oh yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Linda.
I
would say it was a little bit of both because people did come with resources and we saw a lot of like organizational minds that were there, people who had some backers, if you will. That's the way I was kind of picking up. And some well-traveled people, you know, who has who has lived abroad, coming up out of the States. It was also a information gathering, a data collection thing too. People wanting to know what was available, you know. Yes, sir. A little bit of both.
And there were a good number of youth were there as well, who had questions about, you know, the youth and their opportunities. We had a sister who attended, was Dr. Gloria Herndon. And she has lived in Africa for, I think she said, for over 15 years or more. And she worked mm-hmm. with a lot of the young people, the youth there, and sponsored a lot of the youth in Africa. But she was speaking on these technology companies that a lot of the young people have come up with. And I thought about that when, you know, I was watching on the webcast last night and how the youth are working on a lot of things and how the youth are being pushed out front. So, I mean, the future is theirs. And so this conference here, I think, and it's going to be continued on. At least they're going to have another symposium, I believe, and I'm not sure exactly where, but Houston, Texas was mentioned that they may have another one in the fall.
Right.
And so I think that that's something that, you know, that is definitely needed because these doors need to be opened.
Praise be to Allah. Well, let me make a quick station break statement. Listeners, we have the opportunity to ask Brother Gerald and Sister Linda any questions we may have about the international business workshop summit that they attended. Press the 1 on your dial, and you will be recognized and put in the queue, and you will have an opportunity to ask Brother Gerald and Sister Linda a question or make a comment. So I must say, Brother Gerald, Sister Linda, personally, I have been somewhat intimidated from doing business or even thinking about doing business internationally. You know, my personal view was like, okay, how can I, you know, consider doing business internationally when I'm still struggling to do business here? But apparently you see some opportunity for us and the Ministry of Agriculture that I don't see. Can you discuss some of the potentials and some of the opportunities you see for us?
Yes, sir. One of the fear factors that we would have to face is support and financing. But in the Ministry of Agriculture, under Dr. Ridgely's lead, we have been studying different business models. We've studied intensively the cooperative corporation structure, where every member shares in the responsibility, the decision making, the direction, also the profits. So this particular type of business structure, a cooperative corporation, is a way that we could generate the capital and also the brain that we need to figure these things out. Say for instance, we here in Jackson, Mississippi, say we were to form a cooperative, and say mm-hmm. another city were to form a cooperative, say Atlanta, or forms a cooperative. Another city forms a cooperative. And these structures can come together and pool their resources, and we could become like a federation of cooperatives under a like superstructure that would allow us access. We'll have the markets, and we'll be able to generate the capital by membership fees. So these are some of the things. You know, we have to take advantage of what we have, Brother Carlson. And the staple goods, Ministry of Agriculture. Yeah, we're doing good, but it could be a lot better. I mean, if we were to get more participation, but you know, we're struggling alone, and we're making some things happen. You know, that's you know, that's So when I went to the conference, I didn't feel like I needed to sit in a little corner somewhere. Hell, we pushing 40 tons of product, you know, the 60
yes,
to 70
sir.
Years,
yes, sir.
76. Hell, I can poke my chest out, you know, to be part of an organization like that. And so, but like I'm saying, we can that's a low estimate of what we possibly could be doing as a nation, as a nation. And so, just structuring it. And it's already been said. And you know, it's like I see it as not something that we might want to do, we should do. I see it as, you know, like we don't have a choice. We really don't have a choice.
Mm.
We have yet to do
yes,
this.
Sir.
We have this is these are things that we have yet to do. Because you know it's that time is coming upon us. And we've got to have this in these businesses, these friendships in all walks of life. It has yet to be established. And commerce is the lifeblood of nations. Commerce.
Yes,
sir. Yes,
sir. Well, thanks for sharing, brother. You all heard that. If you have a question, press 1. We've heard your perspective, Brother Gerald. We'd like to get a sister's perspective, and we understand that you had your wonderful life partner and wife, Sister Linda, go with you. And Sister Linda, would you like to share some of the highlights and what impacted you most from the conference?
Yes, sir. Just being there and being able to hear all of the representatives, ambassadors from these different countries in Africa and the Caribbean speak on their economies and their tourism and the products that they export and import. One of the key points I got is in one country in particular, it was stated in, I believe it's Namibia, that they eat what they don't. They eat what they don't produce, and they produce what they don't eat. Meaning, you know.
What does they say that to me?
Right. They may grow a certain thing, but they don't have the wherewithal to actually take that product and produce it and make it into to feed their own people. They have to export it because they may not have the manufacturing ability to be able to take the product. We talk about value added. We talk about right when we grow the certain things that we can use those things and feed our own people because we grow them right there, you know, where we are. But instead, we have to export them in order to get money. And we know the history of many of the African countries. We were also and another thing that struck me. Was and I had to go back and study it on the AGOA Act, and I think that's something is AGOA, the AGOA Act, and I believe it was signed into law in the year 2000 by Bill Clinton, president at the time. But it's an act that's designed to get Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, into the global economy, to bring them into the global economy. And much of the continent was involved in it. You know, many of the countries on the continent were. But since then, there have been some countries that have been, if you would say, kicked out of it because there are certain requirements that you have to abide by in order to stay in and under the AGOA Act to be able to take advantage of it. And one of them is human rights. And so they claim that certain countries, in particular Gambia, was recently kicked out of it. And I think the Sudan was as well because they had violated human rights. And so
accused of violating.
Accused of, actually.
Accused,
right.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's always going to be some strings attached when you're dealing with the U.S. Brother Akbar gave us some points to consider. Now, he pointed out the country of Namibia, and he spoke real highly of them. And now, first of all, he told us, he advised us to speak more languages.
Right.
That we should learn languages, and that we should visit the continent, number one.
Mm-hmm.
He's just encouraging us to, at some point, visit the continent first. And he said, you know, this is just his advice. If we are considering doing business there. And we had another sister, Dr. Gloria Herndon, who also advised us to come and visit the continent, visit different countries, starting out with maybe Ghana.
She was dropping some names over.
Exactly.
Reginald
Lewis, she dropped some names. Reginald Lewis, Tom Wood, and George Johnson. And business people like this who have done a lot of business in Africa. But Brother Akbar mentioned Namibia's some stats on Namibia, which was there. Mm-hmm. There's no conflict there, he stated. There's really no conflict there at this time. It has abundant natural resources. It has best road infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Number two in press freedom on the continent, one of the least corrupt countries, and one of the most transparent country on the continent, and it has a good banking system as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those countries that's easy to get a visa, but they're all, you know, seeking investment. They're seeking investment.
Right.
And they're pushing their tourism, you know, industry. They need tourists. They need. They want us. They're welcoming us to come in at this time. And so I think just visiting the continent is first and foremost is one of the things that we should consider.
Get that passport.
So let me ask you, sister. You said that Brother Akbar dropped some names. Did he or anybody else give some examples of some black-owned companies or if the names he dropped, did they talk about what businesses are working there or what industries are good entryways into doing business in Africa and the Caribbean?
Well, what about Brother Reddix? He has a mining he's a real estate broker. He's involved in commercial property management. And he has a mining concession in Tanzania, in East Africa. Also, there's some brothers, some organizations that are doing some things in the line of agriculture. They appeared to be brothers from the Hebrew Israelite community who were up and doing some things in different countries in the field of agribusiness, agriculture, and they seem to be pretty successful. Do you have any more, Lynn, on your?
Yes, Dr. Herndon mentioned, and she, by the way, is Maya Angelou's cousin. But anyway, she mentioned that there's a brother named Quincy McKnight, who was the first black Tennessee senator, and he started Zelle app, and it's a money exchange company. It's called QPay, actually, his company, mm-hmm. Zelle app, but it's called QPay. You know how they have Cash App?
Right.
But it's a money and PayPal, mm-hmm. right. It's a money exchange. It does money exchanges throughout the world. And then she also talked about a company called Telemedicine. And I have not been able to, I haven't had a chance to look up some of these. And
yeah.
I believe that's all I have.
Praise to Allah. Well, thank you very much for sharing, Sister Linda. It's always good to have that balance of the sister's perspective.
Yes, sir.
So did Brother Akbar, any of the representative talked about what are some good, skills, what kind of training or what knowledge you need to know in terms of either putting together a company or attempting to begin doing international business?
Yes, sir. If anybody sat with our brother Akbar at any time, he's gonna advise that you get the history,
right.
Do some research,
right.
of what you're going
exactly.
into. Okay, so I would say that would be one of the first things that you would need to do is do some research, and not just from to get money, that capitalistic mindset, but you want to be able to give something back. Skills and trade. Language, being learning another language. Mentioned French, right? A lot of the countries in Africa, the Francophone countries, they speak French, and that French is a, if you're going to deal in those particular countries, and there's quite a few of them, French would be a language that you need to familiarize yourself with. But knowing that history knowing the language would be, because there's so many different skills and talents, that a lot of times we'll run to do something, to get some money. I want to make a fortune. That's good in itself. But when you get an idea of how you want to do that, when you get an idea of what you want to do, if you want to go set up a electrical solar panel infrastructure, something like that, then you need to get that knowledge, right, about that. So
yes, sir.
I think the knowledge should be you need to get the knowledge based on the type of business you want to pursue. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. So what is your advice? So you already gave some advice on how we can prepare ourselves. So in terms of the Ministry of Agriculture, what potential products or potential opportunities do you see the Ministry of Agriculture in terms of international business without giving up any secret plans you may have?
Well, I thought you would never ask. First, with the staple goods, we ran into a problem the last order dealing with sugar. Okay, now, what if we were to have another source for sugar?
Mm-hmm.
A international source for sugar. I know Brother Nuri in Belize might be able to point us in a direction where we can come together and make purchases coming out of Belize. Now, this is just a hypothetical, if you will, but it could be another product. People drink Fiji water. Well, Belize, I'm told, has some of the finest water in the world. So these type, and then a lot of opportunities are where this was a major problem that they were seeing in Africa and also the Caribbean, is that countries buy from them in the raw. They get their products in a raw state, and they take them away. They value add them, do a little production, manufacturing, and then they turn around and sell them back to those countries that they get the raw products from. Now, this is something that an opportunity. Now, we have to sit down and go through and find out what's available, but we could find products that could fit our particular niche, and then pooling our resources together, then get those products and get into that international trade. And another thing is possibly the fish program. Brother Lori, my conversation with him, he was pretty involved in that process. And so so that mind is still around, you know, that knows how to get some things done. And it's a possibility that we could sit down and we could resurrect that and bring that back. I know the minister would be real proud of us in doing something like that.
Wow. So, Brother Gerald, it always comes down to finding that core group, the like minds,
yes,
the people you can trust, the people who
yes,
have skills, who have abilities, and have the desire to see something to the end, and who are putting the group first, as Minister told us, to think for the whole and do for the whole.
Right.
So you get to, and so it sounds like, you know, it's, in its technical form, it could seem intimidating, but the bottom line is my understanding where we fall short in all of our opportunities is not our abilities, it's not our skills, but it's our level of trust, commitment,
yes, sir,
and our desire to not make profit-making the number one motivator.
Right. Yes, sir.
I mean, just the things you're talking about, it sounds like we have a whole world of people out there that want us in particular to come do business with them. And, you know, I've talked to brothers that do business in Ghana. And when I was in Oakland, I knew some brothers that were some Muslims in the masjid, and both of them
yes,
own property and excuse me, and have businesses in Ghana. And they say the number one problem they have is when they first go there, the locals don't trust them. And I ask them, why not?
Yeah.
You know, you black, you know, they black. They say, well, a lot of times the American blacks come there and you know, the dollar is so strong when you go to these countries, you're almost like you're rich. And they say the first thing that happens is that they don't trust the American blacks because a lot of us, you know, take advantage of them. Or, you know, they try to cut, you know, backroom deals. And so, you know, they both tell me it takes years for them to get the locals to trust them. And so did they have any, the Brother Akbar, any of the brothers have any personal stories like that to share?
I don't recall any.
Well, you know, it was mostly a what the pros and the cons. They gave more of the pros than the cons. Yes.
Okay.
But,
I guess yes.
Yes, sir. Those would be a con. You have to read between the lines, you know.
Okay.
But you're right. We and you know, I've got to say that you know, the to be in the Nation of Islam, you know, under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that and trying to live under that law, if you will, the minister is he is known around the world, and to be able to show that you are connected by doing the work, if you will,
mm-hmm,
and not just talking it, you know, and to have a star and a crescent, you know, on your shoulder, you know, people. I think the world, they're beginning to open up to the reality of the present God on scene today.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, and as we represent Him, then I think a lot of that mistrust will those doors will start to other doors will start to open, and people will look at us in a new light. Because I can bear witness to what has happened in my life, you know, as far as my representing the nation. Doors have opened to me, and I think if we were to travel abroad, you know, if with his blessings, you know, maybe those doors will when people know you come under law, they will tend to treat you, trust you a little more, if you will.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me say real quick, brothers and sisters, we're down to the last 15 minutes of the show. You have 15 minutes to ask Brother Gerald or Sister Linda a question, or if you want to make a comment, push the 1 on your dial. You'll be recognized, and we'll bring you on in. Yeah, in hearing what you said, Brother Gerald, you made me think about the mid-80s when Minister Farrakhan was continuing his relationship with Muammar Gaddafi. Muammar Gaddafi offered the minister some money for weapons. And the minister said, no, we'll take money, but we like to use it to start business. And that's how we started the power program. And so you made me think about that, because you were saying how opportunities came up, or because we have the minister and people want, you know, to have a relationship and want to help and support and do business with Minister Farrakhan, but just like they, you know, want to do business and have a relationship with him, if we, you know, continue to go through the process and continue the process of being a righteous Muslims, people over the world will want to give us the same thing. And so, I haven't been keeping that in my mind, but you're bringing that back to my forefront, so that everything that we do, we're qualifying ourselves, and it's like a lesson tell us we're being watched by our brothers, over on the continent. And when the right time comes up, you know, and we've done business ethically, we've done everything that we're supposed to do, those opportunities that come up. So that sounds like an exciting opportunity to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sister Linda, you were...
So one more comment. I picked up this also for the country of Namibia, and Brother Akbar was loud telling us that they have what's called a Foreign Investment Act, in which they require equal treatment when you come to do business in their country, in Namibia, equal treatment for Namibians, and that Namibians must be partners. And at a percentage of the income that you derive from doing business is to be used to train and educate Namibians. Mm. So they're looking out for their citizens.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, just ride in there and take everything out of there.
Right.
You know, like other people come into our communities and they take everything out of our communities, and they don't reinvest anything into our communities in education or in business opportunities or anything. They just come in and they take and leave out and leave us, you know, nothing.
Yes, and also that was talked about, the educational aspect and the training. And I want to thank you and Brother Tony for your skills training workshop that you gave at Founders Day, brother. That was really, really
praise
beautiful.
Praise be to
Allah. The people involved and learning trade, nation building trades, and
praise be to Allah.
So that skill, our skills are that's a opportunity in itself. That is a I don't want to say bankable, but I want to say that is a opportunity to share that and to teach that, and you have an audience that has a degree of knowledge itself who would really, really, really appreciate the things that we know. We are the most educated black people here in America on the planet. And that is something that is marketable. And so the education and the training and the teaching.
Right, in the U.S. and abroad.
Yes, yes, yes. But I did want to say that they were given, you know, saying opportunities, monies, whatnot. They would help you with this, and they would help you with that. And, you know, they gave some websites and some information. What was that major website? But this also this the symposium itself is scheduled to be video. It was videotaped and it's going to be released. And I'll make sure that you and Doc get a copy of it once we get our hands on
okay.
it.
Okay. Now, how
yes,
could anybody
sir.
Else get it? Is it something that will be available for the public?
I'm pretty sure. Yes, sir. But I don't have that information right now. And we're expecting an email. They're going to give us a email, a website, or something, so that we could we can share that. But
yes, sir. I'm looking in the final call. I see at the last line it says plans call for the symposium to travel to another city in the fall, but they don't have a contact information or a website. But I think Brother Akbar has a Facebook page. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And where was that card, Linda? It's inside that blue folder. It's not Rock Communication. It's the other one. Reach out to we can reach out to Dr. Minister Akbar, and we can pull that out. Let me grab it real quick.
Yep, I'm on his Facebook page. I don't see anything. But anyway, we will keep brothers and sisters, listeners. We will keep you informed if we get any information about the next symposium. We will send that out, and we'd definitely love to have you and Sister Linda back on the show. And Texas would be a lot closer to you too, wouldn't it, Brother Gerald?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. But Brother Carlson,
I did
want to just paint a picture of what's possible to do. To form a cooperative, say we had members and the membership was $100 per member.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you say, Linda, you keep up with the figures for me. Say you had 100 people in this area to do $100. That's what?
Mm-hmm. That's 10,000.
Okay, that's $10,000. Okay, now this is not a unbelievable dream now, because you know we know some people that would do that.
I agree.
And that's just this little locale right here. And say we had some people in, I mentioned Atlanta. Houston, Dallas, other places. We don't necessarily have to stay in the southern region. You know, we can go out, because you know the Ministry of Agriculture, they ship to those 60, 70 cities. And they might want some of that good pristine sugar coming out of Belize, or some good crystal clear water, or some of those products, and to be able to lay out something like that. Now, they get 100 people that's given $100 each. That's what now?
That's
20. Is that 20,000 now? We had 100 that was given We had 100 people giving 100, right?
Uh-huh.
That was,
now what?
Now we've got another city that's doing the same thing, right? And then you get another city. But I'm saying,
add 10,000.
Right. I'm saying that is not a pipe dream. This is something that can be done. This is something that can be done. And, of course, we got to be able to paint the picture so that people can see and see what we're reaching for. You know, what we're trying to do, where we're going. And a lot of times in business, you know, the first product, we might not make the killing profit. You know, we might not, it might not be a big profit thing. We might even take a loss. But sometimes that'll open the door for the other goods to come behind it, if you understand, if you see what I'm saying. Kroger might, or the service stations that pop up in your neighborhood, they don't make money off selling gas. They make money off selling them cigarettes and paraphernalia and all that
potato
other stuff.
Potato chips and soda pop. Yeah, pork rind.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. But the gas gets you there. So we got to get there first. And then I'm pretty sure that the profits will come, the jobs, the dual citizenship, the all that good stuff. All that good stuff, I think. And I think that's something that we can do. But also,
on that note, that, yes, sir.
I wanted to say that when we set up these cooperative corporations, I would recommend that we have 9 board members that would be composed of the 9 ministries. Those 9 ministries would be part of that board of that cooperative corporation for your particular city, for your particular cooperative. So when you need advice and consultation, you're getting it from a defense perspective. You're getting it from education. You're getting it from business, trade, and commerce. You're getting it from justice. You're getting it from
information.
You're getting it from agriculture.
Okay.
You're getting it from these different experts in these different fields to bring that information together. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. And this is the work, and that's what we're trying to do. I'm going to do a shameless plug with the Ministry of Agriculture. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be progressive and make an example of everything that we do so that people can see that we can do it. Well, Brother Gerald and Sister Linda, we're down to the last couple of minutes. Did you want to make a way, did you want to make available a way for people to contact you? Just in case someone has some questions?
Yes, sir. By
what's
all
the best
means,
way?
You can call me. You can call me. My phone number, my cell phone, is 601-456-9595. 601-456-9595. And my email is mtbm1998@aol.com.
One more time.
mtbm1998@aol.com.
So thank you, Brother Gerald. There you have it, brothers and sisters. You have an opportunity to get to reach out to Brother Gerald to share some of his experience. And this show has been recorded, so if you missed part of it, you can listen to it again. And Brother Gerald and Sister Linda, we want to thank you for 2 things. Number one, taking the initiative to go to the expense and the trouble to go all the way to Washington, D.C., and go for yourselves and also represent the Ministry of Agriculture. And we also want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedules to share with us your experience on the Time to Leave Blog Talk radio show. So once again, thank you both for being on the show. And we pray Allah will bless you all to continue to do your research, your development, and your planning, and to continue to contribute to the Ministry of Agriculture in our nation.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand your baby?
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my fifth tire. My forefathers hung from, ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my